This is Tarsha. This shop is Tarsha.
Shira.
So, Tarsha Shala. This shop is Shira. So, maybe it's appropriate to talk about Shira. Anyone here called Shira?
Yeah.
Yeah, talk about you today.
Hey, what does that mean about me?
Okay. So here we go to discuss the topic of Shira. Do you find that Shira is an important part of your life?
Yes.
Why? From a Jewish perspective. Yes to all that you've said. I want to try to deepen it and analyze it and see a little bit of what it's about. Maybe see some surprising angles on the topic that perhaps not everyone has thought of or seen. Let's start. We're on page 19 in the Simcha book. Does everyone have access to one here? Anyone who doesn't? Okay, can you use it? What's the middle there has one? Yeah. Okay. So we're on page 19. Let's start with the middle quote here. It's a sefer, Maher B'Shemesh. The Maher B'Shemesh is one of the early Hasidic Rebbes. And this is what he writes. Matzinu Yechigurei Kodesh. This is from early Kabbalah Sfarim. Ki Koyhanei Hashem Bevoi Adam Lifneyem L'chaper Al Nafsho. When a person would come to the Beis HaMikdash, he wants to bring a carbon because he has done an aveira. But we know that the kapara for a carbon, the kapara for an aveira rather, is not enough to bring a carbon. It has to be specifically a carbon together with tshuva. How do you know the guy did tshuva? Rav Rishayna, let's see what he says. Lechnia leif hachoytei adei yoshuv tukol leif termia kribu hacharban. They wanted to make sure that the guy does proper tshuva before bringing his carbon. The rabzu laluvim amidavrim v'shir l'oyer v'kom na'im. They would indicate to the levim, we know that the levim, when the Beis HaMikdash they are singing, and they would indicate to the levim to strike up shira. Adei nishbar lev machleite bekirbay, until they saw that his heart was broken with regret for the aveira he's done, as nirtzol lev lechaper Allah, and then they brought the carbon on his behalf. Divrei Hamar Hashash. A guy came to bring the carbon base on Mikdash. Khan said, hold on, you don't know if you did proper tshuva. Okay, go to Levium. Then they would reminisce to the Levium, and the Levium would strike up a song, and the guy would do tshuva till the guy's heart was broken inside from regret for having done the Aveira. And then they would send them back to the Kohan, and the Kohan would bring the carbon. Question. What did they sing? What song did the Levium sing that was so powerful that caused the guy to have true thoughts of truth in his heart? Before you answer me, I want to just remind you, this is even before Shlomo Kalibach was born. So I'm like, whoa, we're stuck. What did they sing? What kind of tune is it? You don't have to sing to me the exact tune, number one, because you don't know it. Number two, because even if you knew it, whatever. But what kind of tune did they sing? Yeah, what do you say?
Like, maybe
the
kind of tune
you
try to sing, like,
your kid getting
Rosh Hashanah.
Maybe. Maybe Rosh Hashanah. Maybe. Maybe.
Is it okay that I already had this proof?
That?
I can say what he says. That it was like some joyous songs, like, because I remember you told us, I don't remember what it was, but like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time, he says to us that when we should approach Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that should be from our level of Simcha. And that you were saying now, I think maybe it's from now.
Yes!
Do you mind if I say it?
No!
Okay, so now when the pastors come to Libyan, then they would play really joyous and happy songs, and the pastors would get very caught up with them, and they would be filled with a Simcha and a Yom Kippur and Avas Hashem. And then when they would look on their sin, it was such a desire for them that they did the sin because they're so close to Hashem, and then they would truly regret it because they would realize that they shouldn't.
Couldn't have said it better. It is obvious, it must be so, that the Levium sang a song of Simcha. How do I know? Because that's the whole concept of what Shiras HaLevium is about. Let's take a look here on the page in Rabbeinu Bechaya Alatayra. Rabbeinu Bechaya says like this, Keshem shehamitzvah avoida l'Hashem yisparach, kach hasimcha al hamitzvah nikreis avoida. Right? There's two aspects of avoida. Let's say you're doing a mitzvah. You're eating matzah on Pesach. So what mitzvah are you fulfilling? Achilas matzah. So Rabbeinu Bechaya really have two mitzvahs. One is to eat matzah and Pesach. And one is to fulfill the mitzvah with simcha. So you're eating matzah on Pesach for simcha, and you're fulfilling two mitzvahs. One is to eat matzah, and one is to do the mitzvah for simcha. You're taking lulav and esrog on Sukkis. So you have two mitzvahs there. One is to take a little bit nesra, and one is to fulfill the mitzvah for simcha. You're benching Birkas HaMazon. It's a mitzvah deraisa, right? Shinemar? Nechata v'savata v'rachta. You have two mitzvahs there. One is benching, and one is experiencing the simcha of fulfilling the mitzvah of benching. Of course, provided that you do it with the simcha. Right? Goes without saying. You're davening. So, there's the mitzvah of davening, and it's the mitzvah experiencing the simcha of davening. You're sitting in a class and learning Torah. So there's the mitzvah of learning Torah, and there's the mitzvah of being besimcha while learning Torah. which I hope is easier when you're in a class on Simcha. Right? That's what Rabbeinu Chai says. V'alkein ha'ya'inin hashir b'mikdash u'b'mishkan b'shir ha'pev v'akli. That's why they sang in the Beis HaMikdash. Shumevi nefesh ha'adam l'derech ha'simcha. They sang in the Mikdash in order to promote Simcha. Ki hem ha'levim muzharim u'mitzuvim l'shayrer l'ir ha'simcha u'mitzvus ha'karben. A crucial part, when we talk about the mitzvahs of bringing korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash, we all think about taking that cute little goat and bringing him as a korban on the Mizbeach, and as far as the volume of halachic literature on the topic, that is definitely the major theme of bringing the korban. But if you came to the Beis HaMikdash, what would make an impact on you? Is it bringing that goat as a korban? It was the levim singing during the korbanos. And the purpose of their singing was in order that the korban should be brought to Simcha. That's what Shiras HaLevim is about. That's what Shiras HaLevim is all about, is all about. Ay, 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 ay. That's what Shiras HaLevim is all about. Yeah. Do you want to know what songs the Levim sang? I'll tell you. You know, let me rephrase that question. Do you know who composed the tunes?
Hashem
did. Let's look at the next source. This is written by Rabbi Yisrael Mishkalov, Talmud of the Vilna-Gaon, in Nekdamah to Sefer Pasa Shulchan. And he writes the following. Chochmas Musica. Shibcha Hagra Harbei. The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, highly praised music. Who are your Omer asked, Ki roiv ta'amei Torah, v'seydes shirei ha-levim, v'seydes tikunei ha-zohar, yesha leida v'lada. Without music, a person cannot enter the secrets of Torah. V'al yada yuchaylum v'nei adam lomus v'kleis nafshem min imei seha. The klois ha-nefesh, the intensity of yearning that a person feels is through music. From the sidus that are contained in music, a person could be mechaya mesim. Now listen to this. Hu amar kama nigunim de kama midos hevi Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashalom mehar Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came up to Har Sinai, brought down with him Torah. Part of the Torah was written, part of it was the oral law, part is what we call Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. Says the Vilna Gaon, part of what Moshe Rabbeinu brought with him was tunes, music. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, these are tunes that need to be sung. Divine inspiration at its utmost. We lost those tunes over the years. Imagine hearing a tune composed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He told Moshe Rabbeinu, this is how it needs to be sung. I was speaking to a friend of mine about Shlomo Karlbach's tunes. And I live Karlbach, you know. I live Karlbach. That's my field. I just live it. I told my friend that some of the tunes that Karlbach wrote to Psukim of Tehillim, I'm just convinced that that's what David HaMelech had in mind when he wrote the Psukim. My friend said he also thinks so. A chutzpah of Karlbach, the claim it as his own, but it's a lie. See, David HaMelech. Wow. Yeah.
I heard that Berakhas
Khan
is like it's going to do in Shul, is like the original one. Is that
true? Maybe. Who knows? Yeah.
I mean, everybody does the same too. How's that possible? Because it's possible that we used to be like a new loss over the years.
I don't know if the Gershwin music has that. Certainly not what booms out these days. But we definitely lost those in the gluten from Carcina. Yeah, what's your name?
Dina. So why did some rabbis, like the different like rabbis that said like you should listen to classical music?
You should not?
You should.
Should.
You should listen to classical music. A couple times said that. But like, so why was that?
I haven't heard that a couple times said that or that any rabbi said that. But you have a problem with it?
No, I'm just saying that like, that is classical music I don't know, a form of the music that we got from Moshe.
I don't know what we got from Moshe. I personally don't know. I have some Migunim I would guess at. But I simply don't know. I simply don't know. The impact of a good tune is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. That's what the Levim's saying. So then we go back to the Mar Veshemesh. We say, okay, so what were Levim, what were they singing there in the Beis HaMikdash? They were singing the happiest tunes in the world. If I can rephrase that, they were singing the happiest tunes the world has ever seen. The greatest simcha in world history. That's what the Levim were producing there. They were highly skilled at it. Do you know that the Levim had to study music, each one, for a minimum of 5 years before joining the orchestra of the Beis HaMikdash? And the amount of instruments they had in that orchestra was always a minimum of 16. We've been to Chasna where they had 5 instruments. The Levim had a minimum of 16 instruments, and they were the most highly skilled musicians in the world. They devoted years to this. And they had divine nigunim. Amazing. Amazing. That was simcha at its utmost. So that is what someone experienced when he went to the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what made him do tshuva. What are you going to ask me now? Elaborate.
How did these niggunim make them
to tshuva? My gosh, if they would have sung something like depressing. Okay, slow, mournful, introspective. But to make them niggunim of simcha, make them to tshuva, why? Raisel, help us out.
That there was when they would come to fill the simcha when they would sing songs, that there was a Rachib and Allah of Hashem that would come to make them look at their sins as a bazillion, because someone who's so close to Hashem wouldn't even dream of doing what they just did. And that would ensure that they had true charata and charata shalom, because they're really coming back to Hashem and really feeling the meekness of Hashem.
Great. If I ever forget any of my classes, I know what to do. Fantastic. When a person feels the intensity of simcha, closeness to Hashem, and he realizes how inappropriate an aveira is. An aveira is dirt on the neshama. An aveira is a chatzitza that separates between the total fakers between him and Hashem. Ah! Repulsive! When a person has that intensity of simcha that the shira of the Levim could bring about, an aveira was simply repulsive. So that's how they did shira. Yeah, what's your name?
Sarah.
I
see how that would make them feel simcha, but how does it make them feel dvekas Hashem exactly? This one.
I would have thought you would ask the other way, but how does it make him feel dveikus to Hashem? The greatest dveikus comes from singing. Is that Do I need to elaborate on that?
I mean, it's just like it would make them feel very happy because it's very happy songs, but
yeah.
What would exactly cause them to feel Dvekas to Hashem?
But the topic of the songs, I mean, there were words to the songs also. It was words of Simcha Hashem. Mm-hmm. Rav Shapira Zatzal. Familiar name to everyone? Shandy the Dafyomi. Mm-hmm. She's talking of Lid. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got that in Poland.
In Poland.
We were in the yeshiva, and they told us all about him.
Yeah.
When were you in the yeshiva?
I mean, I went to him in my classroom in high school.
Uh-huh.
And they were like telling us all about him, about how it was thanks to his mom, because his mom told him that he should do this when he was going away. And his mom told him that he should learn one daf a day. And that's when he instituted the daf ayom, and he can't even remember it.
Really? I never heard of that.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, apparently his mother also sold everything she had, like all her jewelry, everything.
Yeah. Wow.
And also, Representative Kamiewski said that somebody somehow found out his mother's sitting in Gan Eden, and every time someone learns a new daf yomi, she gets another jewel. That's what he said.
Wow. Yeah, fast. So Rav Meir Shapira, I must tell you, is someone that had a profound impact on me. Not that I ever saw him, he died in the 1930s, but in my formative years, I would read a lot about him, and he was a very, very happy person. And a lot of what inspired me to the topic of Simcha was reading about Rav Meir Shapira. Rav Meir Shapira once came into the Beis Medrash in Yeshivas Hakhni Lublin after Meir Ben Yom Kippur night. And some of the boys were sitting and learning, and some of the boys already went to the dorm to sleep. And Rav Meir came into the Beis Medrash, and he started singing a tune that he had composed to the words, Leida Lohodia Livada Shumela Al Kala Haris, to know and to acknowledge and to be aware that he is king over the whole world. I don't happen to know the tunes of those words, but it is known. Tune is a known one, I don't know it. And he goes in there and he starts singing the tune. And the boys realize that he's not here to sing a solo and show off his nice voice. So they came and stood around him and joined him in singing. And then he started dancing. And they danced with him. And the boys were in the dormitory, heard what was going on. So they cleared quickly. Dr. Reston came to the Beis Medrash and joined the dancing. And on Yom Kippur night, for 2 hours straight, they danced, Leida Ulohodia Ulivada Shumelech Al Kol Haaretz, to know and to acknowledge and to internalize that he is king over the world. That was near Yom Kippur! That's what the Mar Shemesh is talking about. Wow. And you know, my dear girls, the Chachma of Shira is one that I feel is so sorely missing in our lives. We don't give it the significance that it should have in impacting our lives, in impacting our simcha. I don't think I do enough of it either. Really not. But singing is so much a part of my life. Rabbi Hartman, you all know Rabbi Hartman, my dear friend Rabbi Hartman, he always tells me I sing off tune. He told me that when he hears me sing, he realizes why Nigam and Yavam come from the same root. Yavam? Sadness. Oh, we have a great relationship. Yeah, that's good. But I would be delighted if by the time this class ends, we could put singing into the proper prominence that it should have in the value system of a Jew. Let's see what the Kuzri writes. Top source on the page here. The Holy Kuzri. You know, I want to tell you, I don't know, I grew up in Lipnitsky yeshivas. They don't have the same... The same value on singing as Hasidic yeshivas do. You know how the standard nigun for Licha Doidi is in like a Lipnitsky place? I love it. It goes like this. L'cha deidi l'kras halav v'nei shavos v'kabbalah. The world is so beautiful. How do you sing l'cha deidi? Did you like the tune? I have a shit up for you. Singing. You know, my friend, he told me, I have a friend, a Hasidic guy, he told me he went Rosh Hashanah, this years back, Rosh Hashanah night, he went to there's a Hasidus in Yerushalayim called Rachman Skrivka. It's right near Miri Yeshiva. He went to Tish of the Rachman Skrivka Rebbe Rosh Hashanah night. So then he was talking to his friend after Rosh Hashanah, and the guy asked him, what did you do Rosh Hashanah night? So he said, I went to Tish of the Rachman Skrivka Rebbe. So the guy called him, what? A Rosh Hashanah night? Translation. If you go to Tish Friday night, okay, you know, you can't go to the movies, you can't go to the beach, you need some entertainment that, okay, go to Tish, kosher entertainment, fine. But Rosh Hashanah night, you don't have anything more serious to do than to go blow your time at the Rachman Skrivka Rebbe's Tish? But that's because the guy didn't realize what singing is about. It's not wasting time. It's tuning in to the simcha that was there in the Beis Hamikdash. That's what singing is about. We've lost that sensitivity. In the time of the Tanakh, they were yeshivas. And what did they call the yeshiva bachrim in the Tanakh times? B'nai Hanavim. Right, you remember when Eliyahu goes up the Sa'ara HaShamayma and B'nai Hanavim come over to Elisha and say, where is Eliyahu, what happened to him? What was B'nai Hanavim? It was people who wanted to learn how to become a Navi. To become a Navi is the highest possible level a human being can attain. And they used to go to the biggest Rashi Yeshiva of the generation, to Eliyahu Navi, to Elisha, to Shmuel Navi. Teach us how to become a Navi. Teach us how to attain what Judaism can promote us to. What did they do in the Navi school? What did they do there? What did they do? Did they have any special curriculum? What did they do in that place? Did they daven? Of course. Did they learn Torah? Of course. Did they do mitzvahs? Of course. Did they eat? Of course. So what did they do special?
They sang.
They sang. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It does. Let's look at the Rambam here, the second source on the page.
Sorry.
I'll get the cuisine in a minute. I'll just switch to the stream. I'll get the cuisine in a minute. Says the Rambam, listen to this Rambam. Please cherish every word here. Kol ha-Nevi'im ein misnabim b'chol es shiirtu. Nevi'im do not experience prophecy at any time that they feel like. Elo mechavnim datam. They focus. V'yoshvim smechim v'toyvei lev. U'misvoydidim. They would sit alone and focus intensely on simcha. She'ena nevuah shayra lamitach atzlus lamitach atzlus elamitach simcha. Because the nevuah, the divine prophecy, the kesher with Hashem, can be attained only through simcha. Lefikach, please cherish every word we're about to say now. Lefikach b'nei ha-nevim lifneihem nevel v'tayf v'chalol v'chinar v'heim v'vachar ha-nevuah. B'nei ha-nevim would have with them a nevel harp and a tof drums and a chalil and a kinar violin v'vachar ha-nevuah. Musical instruments is what they would deal with, and they would seek nevuah. That's it. You want to know what was special in the curriculum of the B'nai HaNevi'im? That's what it was! It was music! It was harps, it was violins! That's the curriculum they had! My gosh, what happened to us? Yeah, what's your name? Miriam is like the Tanakh was big on singing, no?
Yeah. Is there a reason why the Litvish world? I always wondered about that. Because I mean, I'm not Hasidish, but I love music and it's very important to me. And I never really understood why the Litvish world really kind of cut it out. I mean, other than like singing at the Shabbos table, like the Rav said, like you don't sing a Chadogi or anything.
Yeah. I'll tell you something. Since you're asking, Miriam, something happened in the last, in the years right after the war. Of course, for example, in Slobodka, which is as Litvish as they get, David Lebowitz was Rishiva Chafetz Chaim and his son Rehenach. So, I'm good friends with some of the Talmud of Reb Henoch. He told me, he heard from Reb Henoch, in the Slobodka Yeshiva, he said, people would be singing all the time. The singing permeated the halls in the Beis Medrash. And when the Yeshiva guys got together to sing on Yom Tovim, people used to come in and line up by the windows outside the Yeshiva to listen to the song. It was so overpowering. Yet, somehow after the war, it didn't continue. There was this little gap. I don't know, maybe it was post-war depression. I don't know what it was. I know in Panovich, people think that the Mashgiach, or Chatzal Levenstein, was basically like trying to do away with the singing aspect for different reasons that people present, but it's mamish not true. I heard from I don't remember who it was, that they didn't sing on Shabbos in Panovich because they were so into learning Torah that they would come to the table and they would talk over sugis and talk Torah and they found that so inspirational, and that's why they didn't get to singing. They didn't not sing, they just didn't get to singing. They were just so involved in the Torah learning. That's how it was back then. But somehow, like that singing skipped the generation. I don't know. That's the best I can say. I don't know. What other than that, I have to say Bashmark as you. I don't know.
And another thing I also wondered about was that there are some people who don't listen to music ever because the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Like even at weddings, they'll just have drums.
No.
I've heard this.
They'll have drums in Yerushalayim.
In Yerushalayim. Yeah.
In Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, there was a gezeirah not to have more than one musical instrument.
But I've been to weddings that have more than one musical instrument in Yerushalayim.
Because the gezeirah was made by a certain Beis Din, and that Beis Din didn't have the technical halachic power to enforce us. It was a Beis Din that said what they said some 100 years ago, whatever it was. So the ones that have music, they say, listen, technically you're allowed to, which is true. The ones that don't have music say, listen, the Beis Din that established it gave a certain direction which we want to follow, which is also true. So there's validity to each.
Well, there are also people who, like, the Shita do not play music because of the foregone.
No. These people don't listen to music.
Yeah.
There was certain Zera and for Spartan.
Not just at weddings, like even in your
Yes. For Spartan it's actually more of a problem, halakhically. There was a certain Zera of Korban Beis HaMikdash, but it has nothing to do with singing. It has to do with musical instruments.
What's wrong with it?
There was a gezeira made at the time of the Korban not to listen to music. Now, there's a machlokas between Ashkenazim and the Spartan, because Tosfos, who the Ashkenazim follow, the Ramah, says that that's only, it's a gezeira not to be too involved in music, not to be involved in music. You get up with music and you go to sleep with music, and not against music per se, but against too much involvement in it.
What about the Spartan?
Spartan don't necessarily have that heter. And by then the musical instrument does have a lot of issues.
Wait,
just
the point is, I'm not allowed to listen to music full stop anywhere in the world, any instrument, any...
I'm not giving up sock to Spartan.
I'm asking you.
There is some aspect of the problem with that.
Do you want to listen to a piano concert?
I don't know the exact parameters. I don't know the exact parameters. That's where it's at. But it's nothing to do with singing. Right? Singing is mamish is a basic element of spiritual growth. Let's see that Kuzri before we forget it. Okay? The Kuzri says like this. Asher l'chokhmas hanagila. The Sefer Kuzri, to remind everyone, is the Jewish sage talking to the Goyish king of the Khuzars and telling him about Judaism. So he says like this, Asher l'chokhmas hanagila, the rabbi is telling the king, Sayir l'chol uma hamachshiva et hanigunim. Imagine a nation that so treasures song. They put the avoda of singing on the most important and respected of their people. We free up the Levim from working. Don't go to work. We'll give you Meiser. We want you to be involved in spirituality. We want you to be involved in singing. All the people in the world see it as important. But so especially in the eyes of this noble nation. And David HaMelech, who's a greater leader than David HaMelech, that half of Tehillim deals with music. Shmuel, Ma da'atcha eiko, says the rabbi to the king. What do you say? Hey, you bina tarim dinan, close door, please. What do you say, says the rabbi? Do you think they knew a little bit about music? Look what a significance the Jewish people give to music. That they take the most important, respected tribe and free them from all parnasa endeavors and say, you guys just take care of spirituality, we want you to learn how to sing. That's the value that singing has amongst the Jewish people. Now, before we end, I want to tell you a Gemara in Erech and Daf in Aleph, and this Gemara should be a fitting end for our topic. Erech and Yiral. The Gemara says like this. Minayin, l'ikar shira min ha-Torah. how do we know the Gemara is discussing the Levim that sing in the Beis HaMikdash? And the Gemara says, what is the source in the Torah that we need to have Levim singing by the Beis HaMikdash? Says the Gemara from this pasuk, Tachas Asher Loi Avadita Es Hashem Elokecha. What's the next three words? Simcha Uvetu Levav. Right? The Gemara, the Torah is talking about the reason for the Tachach and Parshas Kisavah, because you've not served Hashem the Simcha Uvetuv Levav. Says the Gemara, which avodah is done with Simcha Uvetuv Levav? That's Shira. Ask the Gemara. How do you know? Maybe it's Torah, because Torah is Mesameach. Pikud Hashem Yisharei Mesamchei Lev. Answers the Gemara, Torah is Mesameach Lev. But Shira is Simcha V'tuv Levav. So that's how we know this pasuk, Simcha V'tuv Levav, is Shira and not Torah. What's the difference between Simcha Slev and Simcha V'tuv Lev? Not for now. But, okay, clear so far? Clear? Okay. You know what I deduce from this Gemara? You ready, girls? It's a mitzvah d'iraisa for every single Jew to serve Hashem with song. Aye! The Gemara is talking about Levim. So how could I say it's a mitzvah d'iraisa on every Jew? I'll tell you. What's the pasuk talking about? That's what about Hashem Elokecha v'simcha v'tuv levav. Is that talking to Levim or to every Jew? Huh? Everyone, right? It's saying via on every single Jew. You, how could you not be serving Hashem with Simcha V'tuv Levav? Now the Gemara wants to find the source for Shiras HaLevim. The Gemara tells us what these words B'Simcha V'tuv Levav mean. These words mean Shira. So hence we can deduce the mitzvah for the Levim to sing to Hashem in Beis HaMikdash, because we see that Avodas Hashem needs to be done B'Simcha V'tuv Levav. But now that we've learned from the Gemara what the meaning of these three words is and what it refers to, that refers to song, now we'll put it in its context. The pasuk is not talking about the Levim. The pasuk is talking about every single Jew. Hence, here we have a mitzvah on every single Jew. And that comes through Shira. That the Gemara tells us comes through Shira. So, we have this week Shabbos Shira, and we have perhaps a special opportunity of the year to focus on the topic of song. I'm not talking here, I just want to emphasize, I'm not talking here about listening to tapes of Mordechai Ben David or Avraham Fried or whatever it is. I'm talking about Shira. I'm talking about sitting and singing. I'm talking about letting that song penetrate deep and permeate and put you in a dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm talking about singing by davening, which in Yiratzeh Hashem is going to be a topic that we'll be discussing at some point in the not distant future. I'm talking about the singing that you sing, not that you listen to those tape recorders. But, and that singing, if you can put it in its proper perspective, could so intensely elevate the level of simcha that you experience in life, that it's really, really worthwhile. My blessing, heartfelt blessing to all of you. May you experience the true simcha, the true level of singing passion.